that thing on? Okay. All right. If that looks to you guys like an original drawing, it is. I think I showed you the last time my stick figures for the memory verse. I didn't draw that. Ms. Jennifer, we have to thank for that. That is her interpretation of Joshua 1:9. And I thought it was great to put that up there for this morning's sermon, for this morning's message, entitled Life is Scary. I think the snake, the mouse, you know, life throws some pretty scary things at us sometimes, and that light that's shining down is representative of God being with us. So Joshua 1:9 this morning, I've been pounding this into you guys. I hope it's taking. Let's say this verse together, shall we? Joshua 1:9, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened. Do not be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Life is scary. Life is scary, isn't it? You've heard it was said there are 365 do not fears in the Bible. And then I heard someone say there's 366 because God didn't want to leave leap years out. That's one for each day of the year. I had my doubts, though. So I went searching. I found two lists. I only found two lists. Imagine that. The wealth of information on the internet. I only found two lists. I found a lot of places that said there are 365 fear nots in the Bible. I only found two sources that were willing to list them. And each claimed to give 365 verses encouraging the Christian not to fear. Now, if you need encouragement to be courageous or not fear, know that I am hard at work thoroughly studying to find them all in Scripture. And if you really need that encouragement, then I would encourage you to join with me in that study, because I study a lot of things, and you know, at the rate I'm going, it might take a little while. But as soon as I've finished, I will let you know, and I will make that list of passages available to you. But here's what I've found so far. Here's what I found so far. I was amazed when I learned that the internet is wrong. Go figure, right? I guess you don't have to have peer-reviewed research or anything like that to publish on the World Wide Web, but I did find the two sources. They both boasted 365 fear not verses. The first had 143. Yikes. Well short of half of what they claimed. I guess they supposed that nobody was going to go through and actually count. I did, and they had 143. The second was closer, 349. 349, still short of the 365, but pretty close. However, the first source was probably closer to the truth regarding content. The second source had verses... a lot of verses concerning the fear of the Lord. Proverbs 1:7 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. That's kind of the opposite of fear not, right? That's fear the Lord. You know, here's the point. Here's the point of all that. Trust but verify. Trust but verify. I know I've said that before, and I'll continue saying it until I'm blue in the face. Trust but verify. The problem is that checking to see whether or not what we're taught is true takes time and effort, Right? The Bereans took time and effort to see whether those things the apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ was saying was true. That is Paul. Further, the problem is we Americans, especially, frankly, we're lazy. We're lazy. We are unwilling to spend our time checking to see whether these things are so or not. We'd rather plop down on the couch and watch 1 to 4 hours of mindless entertainment every night. That's what 55% of us do. Did you know that? 1 to 4 hours of TV daily. Now, this isn't a sermon about wasting your time or anything like that. So I'm going to get off my soapbox here because there is another point to be made. And it is this. We are afraid. We're afraid. And we need encouragement not to be. It was a long time ago that I first heard this 365 fear not things. I heard it on the radio, and I won't mention the station or the person because it's not important. It was a long time ago, though, that I heard that. And then it wasn't too long after I had picked January's memory verse, Joshua 1:9. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened. Do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. It wasn't long after I had decided on that verse for January that I started hearing this 365 fear not thing over and over and over again. And then Pat and Mike and I sat down and we decided on James for the men's Bible study, which begins, "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, knowing that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness." These things just kept on coming. And here's the thing, life is scary. It is scary. It was 7 or 8 years ago, maybe 6, I don't know. But I was on my way to the annual DeMont Christian School golf outing. I used to do those things before I was married with kids, golf. Now, the only thing I hear about golf is when I'm deep in thought and Sarah, the kids, is trying to get my attention. They say, "Golf, golf, daddy, golf." I look up and they have my attention. But I was on my way to this golf outing, and I did one of those California rolls through the stop sign. Cherise, you've done that before, haven't you? I did one of those, and you may not be familiar with my driving habits, but I'm a bit like Hoke and Miss Daisy's in the back, and I did that California roll through the stop sign, And it wasn't a few seconds down the road that I saw the red and blue lights flashing behind me, pulling me over. And the officer came up to the window, and we had that conversation that we all have. You know, "Do you know why I pulled you over, son?" "No, officer, I haven't a clue." "Well, you failed to stop completely at that stop sign back there." "Oh, so silly of me. How careless. I was in a hurry. I'm sorry. Well, you'd get to where you're going a lot faster if you'd obey the traffic laws and I wouldn't have to pull you over." "Okay, point well made. Can I see your license and registration, please, sir?" "Of course, here you go." "Why are you shaking?" "Huh?" "That's what he said. Why are you shaking?" "I was shaking. I don't know why. Maybe it was because I hadn't been pulled over in so long that I kind of forgot the routine of things, or maybe I forgot how I was supposed to talk sweetly and kind of smooth things over to get out of that ticket. I mean, who knows? But I was afraid." And you may think that's silly, but we're afraid of silly things, aren't we? We're afraid of silly things. If I were to summarize John 14, 15, and 16 in just a couple sentences or so, I'd say something to the tune of, you know, life, the way that Jesus commands us to live, it's scary. It's scary. It's hard. It frightens us. It's dangerous even. But he doesn't expect us to go it alone. He gives us his Spirit to build us up and even carry us along. But here's the thing. We have to endure this life. We have to endure it. And then he says, these things I've said to you so that you will have peace in me. So that you'll have peace in me. In the world, you'll have tribulation. But take heart. I have overcome the world. Life is scary. Life is scary. There's no doubt about it. And maybe that's why the Bible has so much to say about fear. I have found in this little study that I'm doing over 400 times so far in Scripture where it makes mention of fear. And we've already seen that it doesn't do that so that we won't have any fear. We already know we're supposed to have the fear of the Lord. But it makes mention of fear so much so that we know how to manage that fear, so that we know who or what to fear and who or what not to fear. Now, the first time that Israel came to the border of the Promised Land, Joshua was very strong and courageous. I might even go as far to say fearless. Joshua was very strong and courageous the first time. This is in Numbers 13 if you're searching out this reference. Joshua and Caleb, they went out and they spied out the same place, the same land that those other 10 guys spied out. They saw the same thing. They saw the fortified cities. They saw the descendants of Anak there. They saw the great strength of the Amalekites, the Hittites, Jebusites, all those, the Canaanites. And when those cowardly spies came back to report what they found to Moses, they said, "We can't do it. No way. Let's not go there." Yeah, it's a really good land. Milk and honey all over that place. But they will crush us. They'll kill us. Joshua and Caleb, they said, "Bring it on. Bring it. Let's do it. Go grab your pitchforks, your scythes, your lanterns. Let's go right now. We'll be back by morning. We can do this." Of course, that's an embellishment. But what happened, happened, right? And Israel went and wandered the wilderness until that generation had died off. And 40 years later, Joshua says, or God says to Joshua, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." Now, you may have caught on that Psalm 119 is my favorite psalm in the Bible. It might be my favorite chapter in the Bible. Verse 165 says, great peace have those who love your law. Nothing can make them stumble. So let's see if we can't look into the Word of God and find some great peace as we go into this week that's certainly going to be scary. In Genesis 15, verse 1, you read this on Monday. I know that because in my little Bible reading plan that I told you it fits well in the front. It fits well in the back of mine. But on Monday, it says on January 9th, we read Genesis 15 and 16 and Matthew 7. So on Monday, you read that God said to Abram, "Fear not, Abram, I'm your shield. Your reward shall be very great." Now that's from the English Standard Version. I told you I was going to be preaching from the English Standard Version this year, and so I am. And I told you also that when I step away from the English Standard Version, I would tell you, and so I'm telling you, I'm stepping away. The better rendering of this would be, "Fear not, Abram, I'm your shield, your very great reward," because God himself was Abram's very great reward. And Abram had to go through some pretty scary things on his way there. I mean, imagine trekking up that mountain with your son, your miracle son, been born to you in your old age. I mean, you're 100 years old, your wife 90, way past the age of childbearing. But God gives you a son and tells you that through that son, Isaac, he's going to establish his covenant with you. And then says, "Take him up the mountain to a place that I'll show you and offer him there as a burnt sacrifice to me." Imagine walking up that mountain and the fear associated with that hike. But Abraham kept his eyes on the prize. Are you? Jesus said, "Blessed are you when others revile and persecute you and utter all kinds of things against you falsely on my account, but great is your reward in heaven." Great is your reward in heaven. Life is scary. That's a fact. Life is scary. But look to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Life is scary. But consider Jesus, who endured from sinners such hostility against himself so that you won't grow weary or faint-hearted. Life is scary, but fear not, for the Lord our God is with us wherever we go. In Genesis chapter 21 and verse 17, which you read on Thursday, I know that because in our Bible reading plan it says Thursday, January 12th, we read Genesis 21 and Matthew chapter 9. It's right there. It doesn't lie. In verse 17, you read that an angel of God came to Hagar and said, "Hey, what's troubling you? What's troubling you, Hagar? Fear not. God has heard the voice of the boy where he is." You know, that must have been a pretty scary situation for Hagar. Kicked out of her mistress's house. Because Sarah was jealous. I mean, yeah, they gave her, you know, some bread and a little skin of water. That was long gone, though. She was alone in the wilderness with her teenager. What am I going to do? He's on the verge of death. You stay here, Ishmael. I'm going to go over here because I just can't bear to watch you die. I hope I die before you. That must have been pretty scary. Jesus says, "Go into your room. Pray to your Father who's in secret. He sees what goes on in secret." Life is scary. But this is the confidence that we have in Jesus. That if we ask according to his will, he hears us. You want God to hear you? Discover his will. Ask him according to his will. He'll hear you. And his plans are higher than your plans. He wants what's best for you. God hears. In Matthew chapter 10, which you read on Friday, how do I know that? Do I have to go through it again? Okay. I know you read Matthew chapter 10 on Friday, because on Friday, January 13th, we read Genesis 22, 23, Matthew 10, and Ecclesiastes 9 there. I did not plant that plug at prayer time, I promise. I promise. In Matthew 10, you read some of Jesus' teaching on fear. You read Jesus told the 12 apostles some pretty scary things. I mean, you're going to go out, guys, like sheep. And guess what? You're going into the wolf's den. Life is scary. They're going to imprison you, beat you, flog you, torture you. Are you scared yet, guys? Life is scary. Everyone is going to hate you because of me. And then he says, don't fear the one that can only kill the body. Okay, yeah, they can kill the body. But that's it. That's it. They can only kill the body. Rather, fear the one who can destroy both the body and the soul in hell. Fear God. And then he makes this little turn and he says, guys, sparrows are basically worthless. Now, I don't know what the inflation rate was from AD 30 to now. But back then, it was two sparrows for a copper coin. Now it's probably more like a dime a dozen. The problem is nobody wants a dozen of them for the dime, right? They're worthless. They were then, they are now. And yet, God sees every last one of them and knows when they fall to the earth. And that same God has numbered every hair on our heads. Now let's just, for the sake of argument, assume that that is every hair on our heads for our whole life. So that Matt, since you're 50 now, you can still say God cares for you because you had hair sometime before. I mean, it's been shown that babies, and you know this, babies grow hair in the womb. Just ask any pregnant woman why she eats so many Tums, right? Okay, I've never known or heard about anybody who's been bald from birth to death. God cares for us. God cares for us. And Jesus says, fear not, therefore. You are of more value than many sparrows. They're worthless, and God knows everything about them, and you're worth more than many of them. Fear not. You know, life is scary. But God values you. God values you and he cares for you. 1 Peter 5, 6, and 7 says, humble yourselves, therefore. All right, well, and we need to stop. We need to stop. Humble yourselves, therefore. We need to stop and ask, what is that therefore there for? And that therefore is there because Peter is telling the elders and he's saying, care for your flock, guys. Care for your flock. That's your job. Care for them, guide them, govern them, guard them. Care for them. Don't lord your authority over them, but care for them. And then Peter turns to the flock and he says, flock, submit yourselves to the elders. Why? Because they're there to care for you. That's the job that I've given to them. So submit yourselves to them because they can't care for you if you don't do that. And then he says, but all of you, clothe yourselves with humility. Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility toward one another. Because God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. For he gives grace to the humble. So that at the proper time, he may exalt you. He gives grace to the humble, casting all your anxiety, your worries, your fears on him because he cares for you. And you see, you matter. You matter. You matter to me. You matter to our elders. But first and foremost, you matter to God. He loves you. He wants you. That's the whole point of the ministry of reconciliation. He wants you back with Him. So He won't hold your sins against you. In Christ, He forgives them all. That's the point. He was willing to make that long trek up that mountain carrying His own cross for you. But God didn't stay the hand of the Jews for Jesus like He did Abraham's for Isaac. No, instead, He took all the world's sin, placed them on His shoulders, and watched Him die. Then, having fulfilled the righteousness of God, God raised Him from the dead on the third day, never to die again. And that is our very great reward. The crown of righteousness. The crown of righteousness, which the Lord will award to all those who love Him. That's our very great reward. But for it, we must endure this life. We must endure this life, not with fear and dismay, but with strength and courage. For the Lord our God is with us wherever we go. He hears us when we call. He cares for us when we come. And He crowns us when we commit our lives to His total control. Therefore, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Choose for yourself this day to serve the Lord. And take heart. Have courage. Be strong. He has overcome the world. To Him be the glory forever and ever. Amen.